Back a number of years ago, back in 2014, I ran across an article that was titled The Seven Habits of Chronically Unhappy People. And the author's conjecture was that unhappy people establish habits that keep them miserable. And these aren't one-time or infrequent events, but basically, they become a basic way of viewing life, and it leaves them unhappy. What fascinated me, though, is as I was looking through it and reading the author's statements and discussion, it basically struck me that what she was describing as the happy people is what the Bible calls the righteous. And I wanted to go along and share some of these ideas with you and talk about them because I think we can learn a lot from it. One of the things that she noted was that unhappy people tend to see life as being hard and that they're victims of an unfortunate life. But happy people experience hardships too. But the big difference is happy people bounce back from them. In Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24, and in verse 16, it says, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in the time of calamity." When someone has some hope, they have some aim, they have some goal. There are setbacks, but you get back up and go. The righteous, it's not that righteous never have difficulties, it's that they just don't give up. They have persistence in finding solutions. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And in verse 12, James chapter 1, and in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." It isn't that trials don't exist. It isn't that for righteous people or for happy people, they're milder in some way. The difference is the righteous endures. There's so many statements I found in Romans, and I'm just going to give a few of them. But it struck me how many times this is mentioned in Romans as I was researching this lesson. In Romans chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says, "To those who by perseverance in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life." They persist in looking for eternal life. Yes, there are times when it looks hard. Yes, there's times when it almost feels like you want to give up. But they continue in it. In Romans chapter 5, take a look at verse 3. "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Trials actually build a person. They strengthen them, so they can go through more things. In Romans 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." Again, this idea of hope is there. Hanging on through tribulations. A hope that is, as in Romans 15 tells us, is taught in the Scriptures. Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and an encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. God teaches us to hang on. Again, it's not that our lives are any easier than anyone else's. But Christians, by implication, are happy people because they hang on and continue. Unhappy people tend to focus on all the things that are wrong in the world. And I see this a lot of times when I talk to various people. They'll focus on all the problems and they don't see any of the right in the world. Like when dealing with people in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren, but he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There's only one lawgiver, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And what he's talking about is a lot of people, they find fault. They find problems. And we all have flaws. We all have things in our need to be improved. But the unhappy person searches them out. They focus on it. And ignore the good in other people. But happy people focus on the good in people. And that's what the righteous are to do. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, this is not saying that you don't help somebody get out of a problem or don't notice that someone is drifting into sin and you try to correct their course. But what we find is that people who are unhappy and miserable, that's all they see. And that's all they focus on. They don't try to make somebody better. They focus on and complain about the problems. But happy people see the problems and work to make somebody a better person. And they know the good that's in the person. And they're encouraging. And that negative view of people ends up spilling over to other aspects of life. Unhappy people don't trust other people. And I think part of it is because they just don't trust anyone at all, including themselves. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. We end up coloring and tinting everything that we see around us by our own attitudes. And when someone is depressed, if you haven't noticed, they think everything is dark and gloomy. Have you ever wondered why they close the shades when it's bright and sunny outside? Because all they want to focus is on is the wrong. And they see everybody else as being wrong. And they make themselves miserable. Righteous people, though, should tint everything with their idea that everything is right. They tend to be optimistic. They tend to see things better than maybe a little bit better than reality, but they know that there's problems, but they focus on the good. Another thing the author mentioned was that unhappy people think that another person's good fortune steals from their own fortune. Like there's a limited amount of good things that happen, and well, you got it, now I don't get it. And they get envious of it. In Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 26, it says, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's not the characteristics Christians ought to have. They shouldn't be the type of people that envy what happens to somebody else. And unfortunately, it becomes self-feeding when we start envying other people. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arises envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Notice that it starts out with teaching false doctrine, but it just starts building inside itself suspicions, envy, leading to greed. Righteous people see life better. In fact, Paul dealt with some people who were envious of his position as an apostle. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he mentions this in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. He says, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. There are people that always basically measure themselves by what other people do. Well, he's successful, I'm not. He got this, I didn't. That's not the way we ought to judge ourselves. Paul's doing what he did as an apostle, and that he doesn't measure up to somebody else's standards, that doesn't matter. The question is whether we measure up to God's standards. But see, unhappy people are trying to elevate their own self-worth in the eyes of others. They want other people's praises, so they try to make themselves look better in the eyes of others. And if they can't, they'll tear the other person down. But in Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs 25 and verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. It's fine when somebody gives you a praise. But there's such a thing as too much praise. And we ought not to be seeking it out. It's not good for us. Over in Proverbs 27, look at verse 2. It says, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. You don't need to elevate yourself. See, happy people know there are a lot of people who are not worth comparing themselves to. In Psalms 37, Psalm 37 and verse 1 It says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious because of wrongdoers. Why should I envy the wicked? Do they get money? Yes. Do they get away with things? Yes. But why should I envy them? It doesn't do anything for my attitude. It doesn't change my circumstances. And they're not going to last. Over in Proverbs 3, and there's other passages. You can look at Proverbs 3, verse 17, and Proverbs 24, and verse 1. But we're going to look at Proverbs 3, and verse 31. It says, do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Because all these people won't last. None of these people will end up in heaven. They're not worth envying. It's not worth your time. Another characteristic of unhappy people is unhappy people try to control things. See, happy people have goals and have objectives, but they also realize there's very little that it can actually control, so they're flexible. They don't get upset if things don't go their way exactly the way they planned it. God is in control. In Proverbs chapter 16, and in verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We make our plans, but it's still God's world. Down in verse 9 of the same chapter, it says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You have ideas of what you're going to do, and somehow things don't quite work out the way you think they ought to. To a righteous person, that's all right. Because we know that God has our best interests at heart. And maybe what I thought I wanted is probably not so good for me. But it shouldn't ruin your day. See, unhappy people, though, want to try to control every aspect. And every deviance becomes another reason to get upset. I keep thinking about my brother's, one of my brother's wedding. His mother-in-law was the type that wanted everything to be absolutely perfect for the wedding. And, of course, a lot of things went wrong. To most of my family, it became humorous. But you could see this big dark cloud forming over her head. Because it wasn't perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. Very few things in life are perfect. And so we approach life saying you can't control everything. In fact, we need to realize that we don't have it, our control. That's what James tells us in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and starting with verse 13, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Another point is that unhappy people fill their thoughts with things that might go wrong. They don't even have to go wrong yet. They start thinking about all the things that probably will go wrong. But happy people tend to think about what's going to go right. No, sure, life has its down points, but you can enjoy what you can. There's a passage I've always found fascinating in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. is addressed to young people. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting with verse 8, it says, "Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your hearts and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away from your body, pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Enjoy life while you can. Sure, there's going to be a whole lot of misery out there, and don't forget it." But he turns right around and says, have fun. Now, don't forget that God's going to bring you in judgment. Don't have fun by doing sin. But have fun. Do things that you enjoy. Now, if we focus on the worries of the world, it will just choke us. There's so many things to worry about. Government's changing. Plans going awry. But in Matthew chapter 13, and in verse 22, it says, "And on the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." We let all the concerns of the world get in, we'll lose our track of being a Christian and focusing on God. Instead, we need to trust God. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25. Matthew 6, starting with verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We don't have to borrow any problems. Let each day take care of itself. Enjoy what you can and deal with the problems as they arise. But it's not only just thinking about all the problems in the future. Unhappy people mentally live in the past. Conversations revolve around all the things that went wrong in the past. And when they run out of things to talk about their past, they grumble about current situations and people. But as we had in our, that was mentioned actually in a, reading before the Lord's Supper in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, whom you appear as lights to the world." Did you notice how you appear? Shine your light. The world grumbles and complains. Christians shine their light because they don't. Happy people tend to focus on the future and the things that are going to improve. In fact, look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. He says, not that I've already attained it, talking about heaven, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold on of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I pressed on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are there things in my past that I regret that I did? Probably. Likely. I probably can start naming some. But why focus on them? That's the past. Focus on the future. Where am I going? And how my life is going to get better as I strive to become more like Christ. And when we're dealing with people, we need to have some patience. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, even as whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also so should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule over your heart, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Don't hang on to problems. Let them go. Sure, there are mean people out there. Sure, there are people that have insulted you. So, why should that make your life miserable? Now, we're not guaranteed a life without problems. God tells us over and over again, we are going to face problems. We're going to deal with trials. But what you do have control over is how you view life. That's why James says that we're to be happy when we encounter trials. We focus on where we're going and how we're going to get better, not about the problems themselves. I do hope you will think about these things. I'd like to invite anyone who wishes to become a child of God. There's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God who would like to pray as your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward and we stand and sing the song that was selected.